shoved Nieuwenhof, so, you know, there is that. Yeah, you can't just blame Marcelo.
Yeah. Some nuance would be good, yeah.
Callum Nieuwenhof. Ah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that is it. Yeah. Okie dokie, when you're in the pool, wear your floaties. Here we go with another episode of The Four Man Wall, a podcast on Australian football / soccer at its finest. I'm your host, Deshaun, and not joining me today is Andy Gibson.
Love.
So the second voice you're going to hear is that of a man. He loves a standard ragu on Twitter. His NPL player, Ozscopes, but here he is, Damon Serra.
Yes. Lovely ragu. It's the only way to have pasta, if I'm honest. Yes, Deshaun, pity Andy's not here because Melbourne City, what a shit joke that is of a team. So,
okay, just straight into it. Yeah. I mean, you're a Melbourne City fan as well as
I am. Exactly. So, you know. So I can say these things.
I can see the shirt up on the wall behind you. That is a Melbourne City shirt.
And a cap.
Yeah, don't forget the cat, boys. Last but not least, he cannot make Cacio e Pepe. It's Nicholas.
Oh, look, can't win them all is all I say. Cacio e Pepe, it takes more than one approach to get it right. Apparently, the internet was correct in saying it's a difficult ditch. But there's clumpy bits of Pecorino Romano and Pepper hanging around my kitchen still.
Can I just say, Pecorino Romano, goated
cheese. Oh, it is the best.
Best with a ragu.
Yeah, people, parmesans for, beginners. Pecorino Romano is where it's at. Go, take a drive to a deli. Don't just rely on your local Coles.
Yeah.
But yes.
Go and buy a whole wheel.
Footscray Markets, bro. The best guanciale you can buy in the cities in the Footscray Market, and the same place, they sell a tub of pork crackle for $5. We're talking like this big tub of pork crackle, and it's the best snack.
You just snack on some Lamana crackle. Direct, SNN.
Oh, don't talk to me about
SNN, brother.
If you're
not going to Javazi's Wholesalers,
all right, everyone clearly has their own deli that they like to go to. Let's not bring the deli beef into this.
When it comes to guanciale, you got to go to La Mano Direct. But if I need Italian passata, I'll go to Tatura, Damo's farm. Yeah,
that's right. Come and get some. Expensive, though. Takes a lot of effort.
Never get into marketing, Damo. He's just got no energy. He's like, yeah, fuck it. It's good. Yeah, it's expensive.
That's right.
I'll pay you, though.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it, Nick?
I'll pay.
Expecting free.
There's a lot of planning, a lot of effort, a lot of hands being thrown as well goes into the sauce making day. So it is certainly a difficult process. So that's why that price gets driven up.
But look, there's plenty to talk about today, boys, before we get too indulgent in our tangents. There's a lot of drama in the news. We had a thrilling Sydney derby, the return of Ruben Rizkovic, and the Matildas did some things. But first things first, I was reading Reddit. Nick, I know you love this particular part of the podcast when I read Reddit, but this is serious. This is really serious, all right? This post, the officially unofficial definitive Australian football podcasts list. So a Reddit user has made a list of Australian football podcasts.
Oh, no. Are we in it?
No.
Well, did you comment to put us in?
I don't have a Reddit account.
How the fuck you on Reddit?
Well, then I'll send you the link and you comment.
Oh, it's too late now. It's probably at least 2 days old.
No, it's 6 hours old.
Oh, fuck.
We've
got
to
get in. I'm doing this right now.
Who is making this list, for fuck's sake?
Actually, no, I do have a Reddit account. I'm going to send it here. Here we go. I'm doing it right now.
I feel like you forgot the four-man wall.
Reddit clearly behind the age at the moment because
four-man
wall is currently popping, so...
they're popping like popcorn chicken.
Like popcorn chicken. Rock popcorn. Caramelized popcorn. You name it.
If you like A-League and a bit of banter, there it is. Comment.
Good to see the football friends of Ben and Steph is quite low down the list.
Yeah, mate.
What's number one at the moment? What have we got to strive to?
Well, they're not like
it's kind ranked. Of a probably looks like a bit of a
more just like a
chronological order of when they found it on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's MAFS is on there, so that's the Make Australian Football Fun Society. You've got a bunch of like specific football club podcasts. Talking Tillies is on there. Peach A-League podcast, or the A-League Memes podcast is on there.
Oh, no, that's Football not A-League Friends Memes. Ben and Steph. I think they mean it's A-League not... Men.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck those guys. Who gives a shit?
That's Joey Lynch, I think, does that podcast.
Right, yeah, okay.
I think.
Interesting.
Good bloke.
A-Leagues of Our Own, which just seems like there's a lot going on there. They got Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Oof, the Global Game every Tuesday. There's lots of podcasts out there, is what I'm trying to say. But you know what? If you enjoy good podcasting. Ours is
the best.
Lighthearted.
Right here. Yeah. Hard-hitting. Bit of banter. Yep. You know what?
Lighthearted we're gonna do later and hard-hitting tonight. As well. So
we're going to answer the question of is it Palmy or Palmer live on air. That's how exciting our podcast is. Serious footballing stuff.
Still better than Rear of the Grid.
www.onlinehubmedia.com if you want to check out the rest of our content. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. Instagram at onlinehubmedia. It's good stuff.
Did you post
let's get
comment?
Stuck into
I'm gonna
it.
You.
I did post a comment. The Matildas, 10-0 over Uzbekistan in the second leg. Did you boys watch it? Talk to me about it. What happened?
I missed the first 10 minutes. And
so, what, three goals?
We're already four goals up. Three goals up.
No.
I'm like, is this even worth watching? I watched it all.
Absolutely.
And it was quite, I felt bad. And I was cheering for Uzbekistan after that.
Oh, you're just a real Tillies fan, Damo. You've never been a real Tillies fan.
No, I enjoy.
How can you cheer for our arch nemesis of Uzbekistan like that?
I don't think Uzbekistan is our arch nemesis. I'm pretty sure that is Kazakhstan for Uzbekistan anyway, as according to Borat anyway. So Kazakhstan is number one exporter of potassium. So. That's all that matters at the moment. And unfortunately for Uzbekistan, they are no longer number one exporter of potassium and in the running for the Olympics. So I have to compliment, obviously, Michelle Heyman.
Yep.
Scoring a hat-trick.
Do you have to compliment her?
Oh, I sure.
Like, do you reckon she's like sitting on the edge of her chair waiting for a compliment from you, Damo?
Yeah.
Now she can finally go back, you know, to the park, McCullough Park, play for Canberra United, and say, guess what, Damo complimented me today.
Oh, it'd be nice at least. It's a good start.
You're a polite fella, Damo.
I am exactly. Unlike me,
city arsehole.
What? What's the issue there?
Right. The issue is that I just have contempt for everyone. That is
Jesus, mate.
That you
bit
know.
Harsh.
Yeah. You know? Nah. Just kidding.
Contempt for everyone, you reckon?
Contempt for everyone.
I think it was one of you boys in the
except
chat
for Lockie Rose.
Compared Michelle Heyman to Archie Thompson back in the day against you know like Tonga and Samoa and stuff like that.
Alright, that could have been. That's definitely something Andy could say, but I reckon that was Nick. I don't think I said that.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, maybe it was Andy.
Maybe it was Gibbo. Too busy at an... I don't know what he's doing tonight, but he's too busy.
Too busy.
Regardless.
You know that Matilda's goal, biggest win record is also against American Samoa?
It's always against American Samoa. Yeah. Jesus Christ, that's brutal.
Did anyone watch that... Waka Titi.
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. It's been a long working day. I've gone straight from work to the pod. I'm a bloody machine. I thought these guys are standing out. Yeah, Taika Waititi. Anyone see that movie about Next Goal Wins about American Samoa, the comedy?
No, I've not watched it.
Yeah.
I intend to.
Is it good?
Good chat.
Good chat.
That's the one on, is that the one on Paramount?
Is it on Paramount now?
I think so.
Oh, it came out in cinemas in January. I thought about watching it, but I don't know.
I think it was on. I think they decided it was on.
I decided it'd be more fun to watch Cocaine Bear instead. In my own home.
A little bit of Cocaine Bear, you reckon, huh? A little bit of Cocaine Bear, huh?
Or I'm sure Next Goal Wins is fun too. Probably better than Cocaine Bear. But it's just that I didn't have to pay $20 to go see Cocaine Bear because I was watching it on streaming.
Speaking of Next Goal Wins, let's move on to something else. But yes, the Matildas are through to the Olympics, so congratulations.
Well, like, the first goal of 14 wins there.
Yeah, fucking oath. But close to home, the A-League Men, there were some games, lots of games. Dame, I'll start with you. What is a game from the A-League Men's weekend that you want to kind of break down in further detail?
Oh, wow. I think we can only really go into one particular game, and that was the Sydney Derby.
4-1 to Sydney FC.
4-1 to Sydney FC. Complete domination. Complete abomination, depending on which side of the fence you sit on.
Mm-hmm.
Look, football first. I think Western Sydney just asleep at the wheel.
Yep.
And Sydney FC are really coming into some form and really started to work on their tactics, their pressing, and everything since Ufuk Saleh's come in. And look, you can obviously definitely see his effect on the squad. And look. They really shaping up to be one of the finals contender at the moment. So really good to see, especially with the young core of players as well. You look at the back, you've got Gerwood Reich, Hayden Matthews down there as well. So definitely they're doing it all with all these young guys and showing that playing these. People, regardless of their ages and based on their talent, is obviously a good thing. So, that was the Sydney Derby, really.
Yeah, Michael Redan's come out and kind of blamed himself for the lack of performance there. And they've just been in bad form for a while now, Western Sydney. And, you know, the return of Brandon Borrello hasn't really given them the spark that perhaps we thought it would. He's kind of been a step below. I'd say since he came back from what was he injured with? Was it like a hamstring or something?
I never know.
Fair dues, but it hasn't looked good. Nah. And they just don't for Western Sydney to kind of concede 4 goals, I think is really rare. And I don't really know what's going on there because you've still got Marcelo, you've still got, you know, Clisby sold at the back. Simmons is a good player. But Margouche isn't quite on the quality of Lawrence Thomas. I don't know. Bonatig is fine. But I don't know.
Shafted.
What's missing right now?
Got shafted at half-time. I think Bonatig did at the Beedling. So,
What's Lawrence Thomas out with?
Concussion, I think. Or a niggle he picked up.
Like... He played just that one second half straight after the ACL.
Yeah, and he picked up an injury.
Yet to be seen.
No, Margush was there with a concussion. That's when Harper played in goal, the 18-year-old or 17-year-old.
Tiger Oliver Harper.
Yeah, Tiger Harper.
He's 18 years of age.
18.
But
they need Thomas back desperately. Yeah, they do. Who was the starting centre-back last year alongside Marcelo? Because it wasn't Bonatic.
Marcello.
Yeah, that's right. The ultimate combination. They just don't. They don't seem as strong at the back, and they don't seem as good going forward, unless you know a Brook or a Milanovic have really good game.
Exactly, and that they certainly did not.
Yeah,
hardly saw Brook, and really Milanovic kind of went quiet in periods. Yep. So. You sort of wonder whether if either of those guys don't perform, if Western Sydney don't perform. So this was certainly the case this weekend.
And no Josh Brillante. We know
who absolutely.
Josh Brillante
yes.
is. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
his name.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What about you, Nick? How far do you think Sydney can go with this current vein of form they're in? Fabio Gomez is scoring goals. Robert Mack is great. Joe Lolley is the best player in the league, if you ask Sydney fans. It's looking good.
Who's the other? I reckon they'll round out the top four with MacArthur.
Really?
Yeah.
Top four. Top four instead of Victory?
Yeah, no, Victory lost to Brisbane this week.
Yeah, superior team, Brisbane Roar, of course.
Some issues at Victory Land. Mm-hmm. Not that there's much Victory Land going at the moment. So, yeah, who's got...
Three losses in their last five Melbourne Victory after going undefeated all season.
Who's going to go first and talk about what everyone's really talking about after Sydney and West Sydney?
You want to talk about the fan situation and the police?
Well, yes, for a football.
I mean, first and foremost, we'll talk about the on-field issue.
We can talk about it now and with regards to the Brisbane game as well.
Or
we
can just talk the game too.
Or we can do all the football first and then get to the policing stuff afterwards.
I think we should talk about it now because, like, it's probably better if we address it now because, you know, it's quite intrinsic to the weekend, in my opinion.
I've got the footage in front of me. Like, there are basically teenagers getting pushed around by grown adult policemen.
You gotta throw the A word, yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
We can be liable.
Right, allegedly. And yeah, obviously, like, it's all speculation as to who started what and whatever, but there are so many policemen at these games. And for there to be two walkouts in one weekend after, you know, we've done so much work to kind of bring fans back into stadiums, which is obviously the goal. It does suck that this is happening.
Yeah, I think, I'll be honest, I'm not across all the facts because, I know a lot of people are fired up at the moment and a lot of people feel the need to advocate. And my position officially is that, like, you know, if the fans are doing no wrong, the safety of the fans is paramount. That also almost feels like OH&S, you know, cliches there. But, you know, the enjoyment of the fans is paramount and the safety is. But the fans are feeling unsafe to being targeted, then you're going to have no fans coming to the game, simple as that. Because I'll be honest, like, when the news started coming in, I checked out because as someone who's been following the league for a while, it's just, it's not that I don't care. It's just that it's such another, like blow to, like, the league and, like, my enjoyment. And, like, it really strikes deep every time and it just brings up past experiences. And when I say past experiences, I mean past experiences on the league as an organisation and as a fan, not like as in past experiences, like that I haven't, I've been fortunate enough to not experience anything like this, as a witness, and definitely not, as a victim on a game. And I checked out, like, for lack of a better term, because it's just so disheartening, you know, that our game looks like it's having to go through this again. It just feels like we can't catch a break. It's just all too believable all again. If all the alleged information is true, feels like 2015 again. You know, with the walkouts, it feels like 2022 again with the grand final boycott. Mm-hmm. It feels, you know, with the Bucket Man incident all over again, it just feels like another chapter in just the A-League fans being done dirty. And really, what really hurt me the most was, like, look, there's a, I think there's a statement that came out from the APL, and it's like, look, like fans are reminded of the safety protocols, like, you know, not completely standing by the fans. I think Western Sydney Wanderers have been like fantastic, and look, because I've only really been drip feeded in news, because I, it's just, look, I'm just gonna be honest. I know a lot of people are passionate, but it's just like, it's just exhausting. Like, it gets like that. That, you know, something like this is in the news cycle again, and it's honestly, you know, it's honestly tough to like to emotionally reinvest each time when this happens. And that's like what's so damaging about it, is because I'm pretty into the A-League, and if I'm getting like emotionally like checked out, then what is someone like more casually inclined feeling? And I saw like the Western Sydney Wanderers chairman's statement seemed pretty strong, you know, standing by the fans, you know, mm-hmm. like advocating for the fans, you know, that's what we want to see. But what hurt me too is like Robbie Slater's article.
He's an idiot.
He's beyond an idiot, and I think this has probably been known for some time, so I'm probably late to the party of coming with this opinion. I will not take a single word Robbie Slater says seriously ever again. As long as he's employed by
he's just gone on something and actually been in support.
Nah, yeah, he said he will be
on 2GB at 6:25 PM defending Western Sydney Wanderers team.
Oh, now he said that. Yeah, but he's put in an article on like the Daily Telegraph, which is, you know, the Herald Sun equivalent in New South Wales, you know, the Murdoch paper. And it's just something I'm sick of, because Robbie Slater is like, his opinions are like by that established press are, oh, he's a Socceroo, so he's got the pulse on the game. But really what he says is just drivel for like, he's just putting out the same drivel like anyone else would put out, like a rugby league journalist. He's just putting out what works for Fox Sports' agenda, because Fox Sports don't have the rights. It's not their product. They don't have any interest in marketing it. Like it's believed they tanked the rights in tanked the rights prior to renewals because they weren't interested in renewing. It's just disheartening. You know, he was saying it was he basically said it was a shit game for the players and it was a shit game for the fans. But like in terms of like that, you know, shit as in like the consequences were deserved in a sense. And I might be construing his words.
This is what Robbie Slater's just said.
He said,
I sat on the fence in that article. I care about what the fans, because you are the game. What happened was wrong and I'm staying on it, is what he has said on Twitter.
Let me just look up that tweet. Let's fact checking.
Some live fact check.
Robbie Slater's also posting about some betting company I never heard in the Champions League market.
Robbie Slater is an old person. He probably doesn't get his news very quickly. So obviously what he's reporting on can be kind of misconstrued.
But it's not the first time. It's not the first time recently. Like, his opinion pieces, I feel like, are doing more harm than like good to the game.
Because he's bitter.
Because I don't think it's personal of like Robbie Slater. I'm just saying it's just like it's more of a symptom of like working for a paper that, you know, actively has no interest.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing personal on Robbie Slater. And look, he's come out with a different position since I went on that tangent. That I was unaware of when I was speaking, but it's just a symptomatic, you know, they could be paying out any ex-Socceroo. It just so happens to be Robbie Slater's name next to the article. But it's just symptomatic of like working for an organization that has no active interest in promoting the game.
So 14 people were evicted from the RBB during the course of the evening, and that's part of the reason why they staged a walkout. And then we saw it happen again the next day at the Brisbane-Melbourne victory game, where fans were allegedly harassed on their way to the game, even as early as Caxton Street.
It just seems so odd, doesn't it? Like, why are the police all of a sudden monitoring walks to the game? Like, what did we miss last week or weeks prior when there was literally no issues going on People were doing stuff as normal, walking to the games. Obviously, Sydney Derby Week, okay, yes, a little bit more police presence around. But that does not mean they need to be up in your face and, you know, basically provoking a response.
Well, that's it. Like, a lot of it comes down to the police say they're there as a deterrent to ensure things like this don't happen.
That's right.
And then fans will say that, well, you know, if you're here in riot gear and full
that's
armor,
exactly right.
It raises tensions and it kind of sparks things in the first place. So
it's just
there isn't
crazy
really
to me that they don't say that. It just makes my blood boil, really. It's just, you know, you're there to keep everyone safe, but if with the numbers involved and the way you're dressed, people know what that uniform means. And people get insulted by that. And when tensions are running high, there's always going to be the slightest little spark that can set anyone off. And as soon as someone starts raising their voice or does something a little bit antisocial, that's when these guys are like, oh, shit. Quick, let's go and sort them out. And then everyone's just going to jump on because, you know, that's what they're there for. They're there to protect their mates. And tensions run high. So it's just, for me, I'm obviously in the same boat as Nick. I saw it and I'm just like, no, at this stage, like, what's the point?
Yeah. Now I'm seeing, because there's so many different tidbits towards this, it's hard to break it all down. I've seen this on Nine News Sydney that apparently a TIFO was the source of the police brawl.
Yeah, exactly. So because it was pretty much like a whole ground sort of TIFO, it was displayed around the whole, the levels between the first and second levels around the fence. So there were people, obviously, who had been hard at work all week getting this thing sorted, planning with the right authorities, with police, with the stadium, getting everything sorted, planned, that they would stand around at certain sections of the stadium, and then once they'd finished that, they'd be welcomed back into the RBB where their tickets were. And obviously, something has happened. I don't know. No one knows for a fact what happened, but allegedly these people weren't allowed back into the RBB, and so they were kicked out, and then people got wind of this, and they staged a walkout. So,
and I don't know if you've seen the footage from, like, there's a fan getting thrown out of Suncorp.
Yeah.
And he's, like, literally, like, pinned down on the floor, and there's a security guard, like, bending his legs back behind him. Like, that's pretty...
Oh, it was flashbacks of, obviously, George Floyd.
Oh, it's pretty cooked.
A bit of a stretch, maybe.
Oh, really?
Right.
Four people on this one person.
I mean, but like, racial profiling. Racial profiling is a bit different, but I think maybe we should leave that.
More demos, more referring to the specific incident as opposed to any racial connotations. Because, yeah, the kid is on the floor saying that he can't breathe. And, like, though, apparently there have been some police officers that have been referred to kind of an investigation regarding that incident in Brisbane, which is great, but somehow I doubt that anything will come of it. It is just, it's just weird. It's not, it doesn't fill me with confidence that there are just people
just
trying
happens.
To walk from a bar to a game and they're getting just, like, escorted by police.
This happens to be the start of the NRL season and the AFL season in the next couple of weeks. Just feels like there's a bloody,
Yeah. Did you have more to say on the fan stuff?
Do you reckon anyone's reporting on the fight at the NRL game in Vegas?
Of course not.
Poor guy got king hit there.
Well,
that'd fucking suck.
And there'll be fights at AFL games and there'll be fights at NRL games all
you
year.
You betcha. You dare say anything bad about the Bont, I'm coming for you. You can talk shit about Jamie McLaren, but you can't put a Bont, I'm coming for your neck.
Have you guys ever seen, like, 20, 30 plus policemen with riot gear and armor at, like,
never
an AFL derby?
Never seen them in an AFL game. Because let's be real,
Carlton Collingwood games always get violent. And it's not good. It's not a good thing, but I don't see police presence to that extent at those games. So there's
a form of casual bloody, you know, profiling there when it comes to A-League games, and that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. It's always been like that since the NSL, and it'll always continue. So if the people above, the people in charge of the game, don't take a stand for it, which they haven't at this stage, instead called for fans to be more well-behaved, then nothing's going to change. And
I think that's the only way forward, is if like the APL and the clubs really have to advocate against the police.
Strong
leadership. And there's no way they can't... there's no way they can't not have the police there. There would probably be some OH&S law or issue with it. But there should definitely questions raised by the APL about like the number of police, like ratio of police per 1,000 attendees, and then the ratio of riot police per 1,000 attendees. There's been no issue for it. There's been hardly any crowd trouble this year. Since the victory saga. It's just fucking sucks because, like, look, I've got to get political now, but, you know, it's been widely reported, you know, that certain extremists, got a friendly relationship with certain members of the police force. And when I mean extremists, I mean, far right wing, extremists, and there's news articles on it. It's not nothing too bitter, I'm saying, or bodacious, just because I'm upset, but and it's a bit of a glass dome moment, because unfortunately there is right wing extremism in some subcultures of clubs, it's frustrating to make when in reality that might be true, but this is teenagers getting affected in it like this, not like
the story is coming out that police were falsifying the ages of certain teenagers to facilitate them getting banned,
right,
which is so insane.
Always talk to a lawyer first. Plead the fifth.
I'm sweating bricks right now.
Plead the fifth. And always talk to a lawyer first.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother.
But it's fucking bullshit. And fucking New South Wales, this is just a personal observation, never had issues with venue security in Victoria. Every time I'm in New South Wales, I've always had issues. And they're at the Star Casino, I almost didn't get let in. And I had like an acceptable amount of beverages.
Beverages.
Yeah, I hadn't had a drink for 2 or 3 hours, and I almost didn't.
Scooby Brews.
Scooby Brews. I went drink free for 2 hours at least. And all I had was some beers with dinner, and then they're like, "Oh no, I can smell the alcohol on you." And I was just like, I have to bite my tongue so hard. I'm like,
too many Denzel Frothingtons, lad.
Does this just tie in with the fact that Sydney nightlife is just shit?
Yeah. I'm going to the only venue that you can go after 10 p.m. You better let me in. But I've also had bad experiences with the police from the other perspective when I needed help at an A-League game, and I got told, they was spilling. She won't mind me sharing this, I hope. But spilling drinks on my partner. These guys are absolutely fucking off their head. So it was an isolated incident between a few dickheads in the active area, and partner was physically distressed, and we went to go to help, And they're like, oh, you sat in that area. What were you expecting? And I'm like, and it's like, oh, you know, and it's like, well, it's a fucking isolated dickhead. Like, it's not like we're asking you to kick them all out, you know? So it's fucking, it's definitely, you know, based on past experiences when it's convenient for them. And, you know, that was a moment in my personal experience, just recounting one experience in one occasion across, you know, many games that are policed over a period of time. It's, you know, just one moment. Let's not take that out of the fact. But, you know, when I wanted to, you know, take advantage of that safety presence, it wasn't readily available to me, which just adds a bit of irony to the situation. You can't go back into the past and change that, but it just adds a bit of irony to the whole story.
Yeah, fair fucking enough. There's a lot to break down with this. We could talk about it all night, but I think we'll move on to happier topics real quick as we try to move forward, unless you guys have any more points to bring
up. I hope
up
you're not going to talk about this. The Friday night game, because I think that we're just going to get even...
Ale
Rose!
MacArthur! Nah, mate.
I don't know how to do it without Ale Rose starting.
Bernardo Oliveira, yeah. Bro. Bernardo Oliveira. Too good.
Ale Rose was just chilling out with the bullpen.
Who had the better weekend, Marco Rojas or Bernardo Oliveira?
Bernardo Oliveira.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Marco Rojas had a good weekend against his old club.
Yeah, against his old club. Yeah. This is true.
Bernardo Oliveira. Bernardo Oliveira got to ruin Andy's weekend, so.
Yeah, well.
I like how MacArthur are building their team, because you've got like a few like wily veterans who are, you know, playing well, like your Germans and your Davilas and your Ushkoks.
Yeah.
But then you like you bring out these kind of like young stars from other clubs where they're no longer wanted, like your Rafael Borges Rodriguez.
Yeah, that was going to be one of the things I was going to say, is that Rafael and Bernardo both at City.
Yeah.
At certain.
I thought Bernardo was Adelaide.
Yeah, he was City for a little bit.
Rafael Borges, they're both sons of former Adelaide United players, yeah. Aren't they?
Cassio, I'm fairly sure Bernardo was at
Cassio
City.
And
I'll check that.
Cassio was a junior back in the day.
But yeah, no, nah, LA Rose did get any game time this week, unfortunately, Nick. I mean, it's rumours that he's on his way to Paris.
Yeah,
so.
Clashed with his French tutor lesson. Clash with his FaceTime. With his FaceTime.
Surely he's just getting French tutoring from Valère Germain, right?
Valère Germain.
Exactly right.
He can't show his face today, but I watched a game at home with Andy. I invited him over. Old mate was struggling. He was struggling. The work week got to him. We had it's quite cute. We had servers for dinner.
That is quite cute.
We watched Canadian Border Force, Border Security, the Canadian version of Border Security, we were waiting for the Lightning delay to finish up, because it started like 45 minutes late.
Wait, did he come to your place or did you go to his place?
He came to my place.
Could have like met in the middle, gone to Near and Far and watched it at my
bar. You guys have Paramount Plus?
You've got Paramount Plus. You could log into our internet TV.
I'm giving you my free Paramount Plus.
Fine.
Also, the whole point too that was at my place is because I got there 10 minutes before Andy did, because I was coming from work. I was commuting. We had souvlakis. I went for the pork.
Controversial.
Yeah, $15 for a souva. I feel good price for the pork. The chicken was $12. I think Andy got that.
That's good pricing right there for a souvlaki.
Yeah, but the lamb, bro.
I'm not too sure about the lamb, but the chicken and lamb was $15.
Okay.
Pretty good. So I would recommend Marco's Grill.
Did you get any locomotives for dessert? Any locomotives?
No, but we got a good serve of chips.
Apparently the Lucamardis are overpriced.
Yeah, but Melbourne City are fucking dog shit.
Yes, they are.
And they're fucking boring. I think J-Max finished.
How finished is he?
His look on the bench was just like, he had the gaze of a man that's just like, just can't figure it out, you know? Like, he's just spent. I always wanted to go up to him and give him, you know, like kind of an embrace, you know, a bit of a pat on the back, even though I make fun of him in front of Andy on the pod. Maybe not get too close to him because he looked like he was sweating from the humidity. Not sure how. He didn't do that much, but unknown to me why Tilio wasn't playing. I feel like, you know, he was the standout point.
Not even in the squad.
Yeah, I don't understand where that came from.
Yeah, what happened there?
Maybe I missed an update along the way.
Maybe an injury, I don't know.
Maybe it was...
But let's be honest, I'll run you through the team. Like, Jakulish started well, but he's fallen off. Arslan is good, yes, but he's only one man. Lee Nuttall, he's been a bit shit.
On Arslan.
McLaren's out of form. James Jago is average. Ugagovic is average. Alessandro Lopane is bad. Andrew Naboot, who's passed it and washed. Terry Antonis is okay.
Yeah, for 20 minutes.
But lack of talent.
Who's he going to pause on? Tolgay Arslan. I think he's a bit overhyped, in my opinion. He's the kind of player that plays well in a good team. But when everyone else is like struggling at City, he's not going to be the difference. Like, for example, if he was like in the fit and firing Wellington midfield, their output would be insane. But he's just, when City's output is already so low, he's not going to like make an improvement to it. So I think...
When City were playing well, he was kind of like the linchpin.
Yeah, exactly. So he's kind of like, maybe he's a bit of, what they say, the barometer.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's...
Yeah,
he's the barometer. If he's, if the bell's dinging, Tolgay Arslan bells ringing, City's zinging.
Mate, the only bells that were ringing that night were the cowbells over at MacArthur over at Danny Campbell Town.
People hang shit on the cowbells. I reckon the cowbells have done more for MacArthur than any fan initiative Western United's ever done. Because it gives them a point of difference. You're watching them, it's like, oh, it's MacArthur, it's the cowbells.
If you look away for 10 seconds and you forget which game you're watching, you know which game you're watching after that 10 seconds.
I'm genuinely being serious. It is one of the simplest things they could have done because you ring the bell. It's something, it's cheap, it makes a lot of noise. You can give it to anyone. Their active supporter base isn't formed yet. You know, they're not like a Victory Sydney or Western Sydney with 10 years experience of like, you know, starting the act, like, I mean, you know, in the active. It's something, you know, it's something simple that, you know, they can just give, just to get some hype around. I think it's one of, people hang shit on it because it's annoying, but I think it's one of the simplest and best things.
Rogan's great.
Yeah. Oh, now you're
I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan at the start, but now, it's growing on me.
MacArthur had police interference as well for trying to put up a banner, they got took down.
Yeah, some random security guy. Not police, security. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, just random guy just fucking yanked it down and just... Calm down. He was like trying to do some YouTube prank.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, MacArthur in good form. Melbourne City not looking good at all. The other games that were played... Central Coast got up in the F3 derby over Newcastle 1-0, courtesy of Joshy Nisbet. Yeah, yep, another game, another dollar. Western United got a win over Perth Glory. Noah Botic in good form. Yep. Wellington Phoenix beat Adelaide 3-2. Is it Ben Old?
Ben Old. Ben Old.
Yeah, Ben Old. Robbed of a hat-trick by some young geezer. Van Hatten. What's his name? Van Hatten. Robbed of a hat-trick by... Oscar Van Hatten scoring on his debut, but good bounce nonetheless. Wellington up flying. And Brisbane Roar, courtesy of Marco Rojas.
And Waters.
The Kiwi Messi. And Waters. And Waddingham, who has got 6 goals in 5 games, I think. Or is it 5 goals in 4 games? Something like that. The Brisbane Roar are looking good. Victory have lost 3 out of their last 5 games and are in shambles. And
we'll miss out on finals.
You reckon so?
No way.
Go on. No way. Make a bold prediction right now.
Victory... Straight sets, gone.
Straight sets, easy. But, like, miss out on finals. Melbourne City will actually, like... Melbourne City will have to, like, go back in time and bring back the old team, bring back PK. You know... Yeah,
I just want to say on Melbourne City, you could honestly, like, with McLaren's dip in form, I think it really just goes to show how well serviced he was. You know, he was banging in goals left and right because of the service he was getting. And because he's got Natal and Yakalish on either side of him, he's just not getting that quality service.
But he was, in theory, have a similar vein of service, because it's just unfortunate, like, he's injured. Like, he should still, like...
No, certainly, but...
Retained Leckie and Naboo. It's the only part of City's lineup that didn't really change, but they've been injured, so it has kind of changed.
Hasn't had that consistency and, you know, those connections that you make during the season. So that's what I just wanted to pinpoint. That was just, that's what I found interesting, is
totally service. Fair. Do you guys know Paddy Cosnorbo has the highest win percentage of any A-League men's manager to have played 20 games plus?
Followed by Giancarlo Italiano.
Yeah, and then Mark Jackson. Mark
Jackson, yeah. I just saw that.
Do you have, can you finish the top five for me?
Graham Arnold and Eric Lambert. Yep.
Perfect, yes. Nicely done, David.
It helps that Eric Lambert managed only one season and he went to a grand final.
That's right, yeah.
I also checked out that game during COVID. I was watching it with Andy on a Zoom call, but we're just so happy to chat to each other because we hadn't really picked up the phone to each other during lockdown. And that we kind of like chatted through the whole game and didn't even realize Sydney FC scored in extra time. I will say, Melbourne City was robbed of winning that in regulation time. There's a dubious offside call in that. I think it was
Where is Eric Mombert these days?
He went back to France, didn't he?
Who's he coaching?
France working for... Maybe? Or he might have retired?
Maybe he's retired. I don't know. Regardless. Should we get to some news, fellas?
Yeah, we got a bit to get through. There's a fair bit of news.
AS Roma playing AC Milan in Perth on May 31st. Shattering news for me because it's not in Melbourne.
That is shattering news.
And I can't afford to go to Perth twice in 4 weeks. Don't know if I can afford to go to Perth twice in a
year. Why would you want to go to Perth at all? Let's be perfectly honest.
Have you seen the Quokka? Perth.
Have I seen the Quokka? Yeah, on the internet. Plenty of times on TV.
But have you seen him in real life?
No. And
that's why you need to go to Perth.
Why? Yeah, but is it really worth it to go all the way to bloody Perth just to see a quokka?
They have Fremantle.
Fuck Fremantle.
Mate, Fremantle is just like Fitzroy but better.
You're having a laugh.
Probably, yeah. But Fitzroy doesn't have the little creatures brewery.
Bloody hell. Okay, regardless. I'm going to rattle off a few news headlines, alright? And you guys, you know, if there's anything that stands out, let me know, and we'll go from there. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. How Red Bull tactics inspired Sydney FC's thumping 4-1 derby win. That's headline number one. Moving forward. A-League women players urge APL to create full-time competition amid Women's World Cup boom. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. We've talked about this a little bit in recent weeks, actually, but with all that money coming in, why not give it a go? Like, there's nothing stopping you. Melbourne City Stars unite to support cancer research. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Yeah. But this is Jimmy Jago and Rebecca Stott dyed their hairs. Yeah,
exactly blue. Right. Yes, both blood cancer survivors themselves.
Jimmy Jago being a survivor, but...
He was diagnosed with myeloid leukemia as a 15-year-old. Yes, But smashed it out, recovered.
I guess Rebecca Stott's, I was more of that because that happened in her professional career, during her professional career.
Yeah, for Jago it happened when he was like 15, I think. So
good on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Good story to get behind. Labour Liberals reluctant to give Tasmanian team support, referring to this alleged Tasmanian football team.
AFL?
That...
No.
Soccer.
Yeah, well, They're having issues with the AFL team too, no surprise.
Tasmania just have issues, don't
they? Yeah, so does Brisbane. There's weird political willpower issues happening with stadiums and sport investment in general at the moment.
Well, speaking of Brisbane, according to Oz Stadiums, which might not be super reliant in terms
they
of...
are the source on all things stadium, trust me. They're,
are they really? Like, okay, Oz Stadiums,
right. It's just this random guy reliable. That like, runs a blog, but he's like super into stadiums. I use his stuff all the time.
Really? Yeah, homie just loves stadiums.
Genuinely, he just really loves stadiums.
That's sick. All right, cool. $10 million pledge for boutique Ipswich Stadium, according to Oz Stadiums.
Where's it?
Yeah.
Where's Ipswich?
Ipswich is like, it's like the Frankston of Brisbane.
But is it like north, south, west, east?
East. Far east.
Is it east?
Far west, sorry.
No. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
so it's on the way to Toowoomba.
Yeah.
Southwest.
That way.
Yeah, southwest. I guess it's...
12,000 seater, they reckon.
Who would be playing there? NRL, mate. Rugby League.
Yeah, it is.
Probably the Rugby League. But the Brisbane Roar kind of don't really have a home, do they? And if they want to bring in a second Brisbane team, then they're going to need somewhere to play.
Which was where they were hoping to have a second division side.
Yep.
The Western Pride.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
It's Yongsa.
So, at the very least, it helps. So, got a shout out
at
to
least
that.
At least it's there if... But the issue is that they will have to rent off the rugby league tenants. So, not ideal. And just another kick in the balls to Perry Park. Obviously,
Perry Park just taking L's left, right, and centre. They should play at Indoor Estate High. Don't do that. Grass is made of sand. It's awful. And according to Football FTBL, the two diminutive midfielders the Socceroos need, according to Adrian Deans. Arnie, you've got to pick these two for Lebanon. Got to.
Who?
So wow. Well, let me scroll down to find out. Niz is one of them, yep. The Niz. Joshy Nisbet. Niz with the Riz. And who do you think is number two?
Nick the Triantis.
Not a midfielder.
Marco Tilio.
Not Tilio, he was already in the
Aiden
squad.
Aiden Hrustic.
Hrustic! Does he even play games anymore?
Yeah, he came back this weekend and scored.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, good man. That's what we like
Aaron
to see.
Aaron Boy?
No.
And Neuenhoff.
Pretty sure he's...
Oh, wait.
The Hoff's a good shout. He's been doing very well over in the FPL.
I was just wishing for him.
Were you just rizzing me, yeah, Nicholas? The second name he's dropped is Daniel Arzani.
Oh.
No.
That was not one that I expected.
Nah.
That's a good reason.
Not loving Arzani's game this season.
I mean, he's certainly improved a little bit, but definitely not setting
the world. He's not a midfielder, he's a winger.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's still midfield, right?
If he says the two diminutive players, I would have probably guessed Arzani, probably. Not.
Yeah, it's his fair shout.
Nonetheless, I somewhat agree with him, but... I don't know. Something in me that doesn't really think that Nizzy is what we're missing.
No, you don't think Nizzy's the answer?
He's certainly a good player.
You think more of a new one?
I would prefer. I'd like him to do well, but I think we just need to go with someone a little bit more, not mature, but we need a fresh restart.
The midfield isn't our issue.
Yeah.
I think the midfield is our issue.
Oh, maybe like from a creativity perspective. Mm. But like our issues, like our biggest issue is definitely a striker.
Striker.
Geffen Jones.
Chance creation.
And top five Socceroo, Geffen Jones.
Chance creation. I mean, obviously Nizzy, I'll probably be made to eat my own words here, but yeah, I can see why he has been, because he is certainly a good ball carrier, gets in good positions, but he doesn't have the finishing. Yes, he's got 6 assists this season, and he's just scored. But
we all saw the miss.
That's right, exactly. So I don't know if he's cut out for international football yet. So potentially, obviously, being against Lebanon, it is a good opportunity for us to test him. But I hate the fact we're just giving out caps for these type of performances. I think you really need to be banging the door down. And it's annoyed me the last couple of years, actually, with the amount we're just throwing out caps to players. But
I thought you were supportive of the whole absolutely. Give the young guys
a game. No, certainly I am. But if you're not banging the door down and saying, look, I've just scored 10-plus goals this season, I've dished off 10-plus assists, who are we capping?
But do you not believe that Josh Nesbitt is the best midfielder in the A-League right now?
At the moment, I would agree, yes. But is he going to completely displace who we currently have in the midfield? I don't really know.
Yeah, it's a tough question. And there are so many central midfielders, like your O'Neills, Irvines, Backus, McGree, Devlin, Jean-Raw, Denis Jean-Raw. Where's Denis Jean-Raw? I forgot. Denis Jean-Raw?
If we just had someone creative like Aidan Krustic in form, I think our issues are somewhat kind of rectified. I don't know. I would love to see Nizzy get a cap, but for me, it just feels sort of wrong for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I tend to understand. Well, at least I understand. I don't necessarily agree. I think we need to keep trying things, especially against
lesser opponents. When it comes to friendlies. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah, give it a go, right? Give it a fucking fair shake at the sauce bottle, lad. Well, Mabil's back in form somewhat. He scored 4 goals, got 3 assists over there in the Swiss Super League. Give him another shot in the league. Fuck me. Get healthy, brother. But the last bit of news I think we need to cover. Nick, have you seen this? Sam Kerr has been accused of abusing a police officer.
This is a very politically charged episode of the Four-Man Wall today.
It is a very politically charged episode of the Four-Man Wall, unfortunately. There's lots to talk about.
Can I decline to comment before the full story's out?
Yeah, we can wait till next week to talk about it.
Yeah, it's just, it just feels... I feel like there's just a bit of, like... I feel like no one knows what the story is yet. Like, there's people, putting their head in their sand a bit. So I just don't know what it's about yet. Better to come back with an informed opinion than a rushed opinion, as they say.
This is very true. This is very, very true. There's people talking about cover-ups. There's people talking about racial accusations. There is a lot of lot of mud being thrown at the wall right now.
Really weird situation.
Yeah, it's odd. All right, well, fine. We'll put a pin in that, and we'll wait, I guess, till next week to properly discuss the Sam Kerr situation, and hopefully all is well in that particular regard.
Fuck me. Japan's a huge country.
Sorry, what?
In Japan, mate. It's a huge country.
Why have you brought this up?
Oh, mate, I'm just on this website where you can move countries and see how big they really are.
Why are you doing that during recording?
Oh, mate, I'm having so much fun. Have you not? You haven't even noticed till now, so obviously it's not that much of a distraction.
But we're in the middle of recording, Nicholas.
I've given some great opinions while doing this.
You have given some great opinions, but do you have a peak moment of the week for me?
No, peak moment is taking sabbatical, just in the light of the events of this week.
Totally
fair. I just want to say, I just want to give an honourable peak moment shout out to Giancarlo Italiano. He's just iconic in general. Just want to give a shout out. Big love to Giancarlo. I just want to say the next team to beat the Phoenix, worse than Miranda Priestley from The Devil Wears Prada, They're worse than H&M. They're worse than the whole fast fashion industry, because they're going to be the result of Giancarlo having to throw out another shirt. So...
This is true.
So I just want to say, tread lightly, because I'm going to hit hard if you make Giancarlo throw out a shirt.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it won't be the Melbourne City this week. You guys are definitely taking an L to the Phoenix, because the Phoenix are too good. Costa Barbarousis is... Barbarousis. I could sing that all day.
Genuine curiosity. Why doesn't Giancarlo Italiano not wear like club stuff during games?
He's too busy steezing, bro.
Giancarlo Italiano, I'd love to see him. I reckon if Giancarlo had to manage a game in a warmer climate, even like a Brisbane, we'll be seeing shades of Ange Postecoglou managing in Asia with the shirt situation.
Yeah,
that's a good shout, actually. Gets fucking humid, doesn't it?
White shirt, bad idea.
It's such an iconic image. The great thing about Ange in the EPL is he'll never be in a situation where he has to wear less than four layers. But yeah, it's an interesting point, Damo. It used to be a thing in the footy too that like Rodney Ead would wear the suit, you know.
Big Rocket Ead, yeah, brother, yes.
As late as 2006, he was rocking the suit, you know. But then I think, you know, AFL clubs and NRL clubs just realised that you can't put many sponsors on a linen suit.
Yeah, true. But very true. I like
that in managerial style. They get their own... Oh, fuck, that was a dirty yawn, Deshaun. No,
I stubbed my toe, bro, on my desk. Fuck me. Oh, give me 1 second, fellas. It's so hot.
It's not that hot.
It's 33 degrees here. It's only 24 there.
I'll tell you why. Because you get more northerly winds in Shepparton.
Bloody you're closer fucking to the equator. Jesus Christ, puss.
All right.
By 200 kilometres. Yeah. 150. Oh.
That was brutal. That was a tough little stub. Shall we move on to split the wall and wrap this podcast up, boys?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, there's normally a 2 degree difference between... Geelong could be 2 to 3 degrees cooler than Melbourne, and that's only 60 kilometres down the road.
It's bloody warm. I think it's my room, like, gets the direct afternoon sun, yeah, so... Well. It kind of just retains the heat, you know what I'm saying? Speaking of hot things. Exactly. Speaking of hot things, today, Split the Wall, and this is obviously the segment where we, two of my beautiful co-hosts debate a certain topic that I asked them. Question. They have 60 seconds each to argue their side of the story, and the question's very hot. On the heels of our chicken-based question last week, we're doing another chicken-based question. The age-old, is it a palmy or a palmer? Now, if I'm not mistaken, Nick grabbed the win last week. Am I right, Nick?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Much to my disappointment. I thought I pulled enough out of the bag there. But...
Enough out of the Red Rooster takeaway bag?
Yeah, the Red Rooster.
It's
not quite enough fritter with your pineapple, brother.
You know what, Andy and I, it was like Andy came over, it was like, what would you like for, we'll get some takeout, what would you like? It's like, oh yeah, I'm easy. I'm like, what about you? I'm like, not Red Rooster.
You absolute wanker.
But also, Christ. There's no Red Roosters nearby, so it's a bit of an owl.
Well, regardless, Nick, you got the win, so you get to choose which side of the argument you fall down on. Do you call it a palmy or a palmy?
I am abdicating this privilege, and I'm doing the Uno reverse, and I'm putting it on Damo.
Oh.
Just that kind of gentleman.
The Uno reverse, he reckons. Nick does better when
I
he goes
know
second.
What I call it. So this is good.
Then stick with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
What do you call it, Damo?
It's always and always will be a palmy.
Sorry, Kate.
A palmy?
No, genuinely, your Discord like skipped that final syllable, so I didn't actually catch it.
Oh, palmy.
He just calls it a palm.
Sorry?
Yeah, all right.
It is a palmy.
All right, okay. Well, you've got 1 minute to argue whether or not it is indeed a palmy. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, the chicken parmigiana, or eggplant parmigiana, as I will probably have for dinner later on because I made one last night, it's always, and always will be, known as a parmy, because if you write out the word parmigiana, it ends the parm with an I, not parma. Now, those who are more Aussie inclined will tend to disagree because it's a parmigiana, you know, you don't really pronounce the I. So, in that case, just look at it on a bit of paper, take the jana off the end, and you've got yourself a palmy.
I will call that. That was fantastic. Oh shit! People who are more Aussie inclined, huh? See, I call it a palmer. So you just roasted the fuck out of me. That was really well done. All right, Nick, you got to respond here.
Yeah, well, hopefully Damo's fucking the flog, so this will be easy.
Nah, he's done well there. What are you talking about? Like,
all right. All right, ready?
All right, 3, 2, 1,
from
go.
One Italian to another, yes, it might be Parmigiana. However, what town does it come from? It comes from the town of Parma. The home of Alessandro Ciccati, future centre-back talent of the Socceroos. That's where it comes from. It comes from the town of Parma. First off, you're calling it Parmy. You're wrong. You're a flog. Get that right up, yeah. You know who calls it Parmy? People from New South Wales. And people from New South Wales are always wrong. You know, people from Geelong call it a Parmy. It's bloody outrageous. It's a Parma, mate. Let me tell you, okay? In Italian, in the language of Italy, Italian, if it's a singular word, it ends generally in A or O unless it's irregular. And even if it's irregular, very rarely ends in I. It will often end in E. It's a singular parma, not a parmi. Parmi would refer to plural parmas. So,
your time is up, cuz!
That's how language works, mate. I don't make the rules.
Did you just go into the fucking...
Yeah, I went overtime.
Like, grammar?
Yeah, well, Damo decided to pull it out too, so I actually did use Bob Italian, so...
Oh,
I got a high distinction in Italian poetry recital competition, so... In year 9. And then I went back the next year and I didn't even get a pass because I didn't practice.
I went to that.
Yeah, the Dante Alighieri competition.
Yeah, the Dante Alighieri,
yeah. But the first time I tried in year 9 and then the second time in year 10, I didn't try and I like got through the third line and I went, nah. And they're like, that's okay. And I only went there to have the Ligon Street lunch at my school.
Yeah.
Get some creamy carbonara. Very unauthentic.
I probably saw you there.
Does the Parmigiana actually come from the town of Parma?
Yeah, that's why it's called Parmigiana.
Yeah, but it's not the Parma we know over here. It's like an egg.
No, it's eggplant. Which I made. I'll send you a photo.
Right. Because this says here, right, the chicken parm actually comes from northeast United States.
Yeah,
from
yeah well, that's immigrant. Because, you know, like spaghetti and meatballs and pepperoni pizza. There's been some artistic liberties. It's come from the Italian migrant community.
Meet the boss.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting because that kind of throws your argument into a bit of disarray there, Nicholas, because yes, the Parmigiana originates from...
Well, I disagree
Parma,
there.
But the chicken palm, and we were talking chicken palms today, does not originate from the city.
I disagree, though, because the namesake comes from the eggplant Parmigiana, so...
Yeah, but Damo was right. It is spelled P-A-R-M-I, not P-A-R-M-A. And for that reason, I've got to give it to Damo on this one.
I just want to rebuff that, actually. It's an arguing after the siren to the press, to the media. But, you know, Damo said you cut it off at Jana. I disagree. It's not a conjugate of a vowel. You know what? I'm gonna message my cousin and I'm gonna be like Parmigiana shorthand. Parmigiana. If you were to shorten it in Italian, would it be Parmi or Parma?
But we're not talking Italian. We're talking about Aussie slang.
Well, who is that argument? It's fucking bullshit, mate. I'm telling you, mate. Split the wall again if this bullshit's gonna happen ever again. You know what? Fuck this.
You won last week, what are you talking about?
Generally, most Aussie slang ends with an O or a Y.
Yeah.
O or a Y. It's not a Parmo.
All Italian nouns end in A.
So it had to be Parmi. It had to be Parmi. It was just like cancelling out.
Okay. Look, lads, we've got to stop this podcast before it gets too heated. But that was lots of fun. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Obviously, you can check us out at Online Hub Media on Instagram.
If we weren't cancelled for our...
on the Instagram as well.
If we're not getting cancelled for our opinions on the policing inequities and drama, we're getting cancelled on Split the Wall this week.
I'd rather not have cancelled. We're just going to have a... Yeah, all right. Okay, let's calm it down here, fellas. Let's calm it down and enjoy ourselves a nice chicken parma tonight.
Oh,
I've been joined by Nick and Damo. Damo and Nick. Oh, God.
I just want to say take care tonight. You know, it's a nice, cool 22-degree day, so just take a chill, go for a walk, and smile at the sunset.
That's it, mate. And you, Damo, any parting words?
Yeah, well, it's a nice 32-degree afternoon here in Tatura, and great night for a walk.
Hope you have a nice Parma tonight.
Want to get bitten by lots of mozzies, and if you potentially want to get run over, because that's what happens in the country. Take care of passing vehicles.
Tractors, mate.
Don't get run over. That's not good at all. All right, this would be the four-man wall. Don't get run over. Thank you all.
Hello, everybody, especially all our viewers who are here every week. Yes, of course, I am Damon, the one that who's the most, I suppose, aggro, you could say. You can tell by my luscious locks.
Just look at him.
Just look at me, you know, aggro.